Who are you?
Nice to have you here.
So this morning, I'm going to do it a little bit different, as I've said in times past. I will read the poem that you have a copy of, and then I'll say a few things about it from my perspective. But what I would like from others is kind of a sharing on what hits you. And it might be something very profound and beautiful, and it might be like, duh, I didn't get it. So there is no right or wrong sharing. It's just what your experience of this writing is. So this was written by a Zen master. His name is Ryokan. And if you search it on the web, it actually has a couple of different renditions, I guess. This is one of the most beautiful ones, I thought. With no mind, the flower invites the butterfly. With no mind, the butterfly visits the flower. When the flower opens, the butterfly comes. When the butterfly comes, the flower opens. I am the same. I do not know other people, and they do not know me. But without knowing one another, we naturally follow the universal law. So, this little thing here, it's actually a origami in there that somebody made, but I'm using it as the butterfly and the flower. So the words that come to my mind in reading the poem are giving, receiving, and creating. We can look at the butterfly coming to the flower, and whatever it is butterflies do, I don't know if they pollinate the world, or I really don't know what butterflies do. I meant to Google it, but I didn't. But anyway, so the butterfly comes, and at the right time, the butterfly lands, and the flower is open to receive that. If you've ever gone to like a, Gilroy Gardens has a butterfly garden. And if you've ever been fortunate to have one land, it's just like, you can't know that it's there except by the color and the visual of it. But the other side of it is that the flower is also ready to receive. And in that receiving, the butterfly, the flower is giving. And so it isn't just one is giving and one is receiving. It's this is giving, and it's receiving from the flower. The flower is receiving, and in that, there is some creation. I had asked Issei when he was going to the bathroom to look, and you might do the same thing as you go down when you leave the garden. How many bushes or trees are beginning to bud? I saw three. Now, Issei said he saw more, but I saw three of them, three different ones. So look, so what is that that happens with the giving and the receiving and the creation? Now, the similarity for me is about Zazen, because we come, we sit, we try to sit up straight, we try to keep our minds quiet so they can know what's going on in our hearts. It's hard. It is very hard. But for that moment that we can do it, then we're more likely to be able to receive something else that we don't know what it is, we don't know where it comes from. Means people have a lot of different names for it, but we don't know. All we can do is name that which we really don't know. And in that, there is a creation that comes. So this little thing is actually a very good example, because I was looking for a flower around my house this morning, and last night actually, and then I thought, okay, well, I'll just take this one. It's not a real flower, it's a silk, I think. I'll take this, and I have a little vase, so I'll put it in there. And so then it says, I was getting ready to leave, I saw this little thing, and I thought, I mean, it wasn't me, but what came together, you know, for, oh, that's a perfect image of what the poem is about. So that's what Zazen is about, receiving, giving, and creating, and then sharing with the world. So those are thoughts. What do you all have to? And you can read the poem again if you need to do that, but what comes to your mind?
So this sort of followed a conversation I had on New Year's first with some neighbors, and the young boy had a friend. We talked about resolutions, and I don't make resolutions, but he said his friend doesn't either, but he chooses one word for compass for the year. As a compass.
Uh-huh.
And so the three of us, four of us, decided to pick a word, and I picked the word open. And that seemed very prominent in this poem, because, well, I think it's only used once. It is really about the opening that can naturally come between, you know, that arises in among all beings. And so I just like, it sort of seemed to ring a bell for me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Beautiful.
To that, but then I'll also have my comment on this. I was listening to a podcast where people were talking about resolutions, and one of the comments that I found useful was that she liked to just state them as intentions rather than kind of specific goals of I'll do X amount of Y, because I think it gives yourself something that I think we learn and stress here is forgiveness for when you don't attain what you're striving for. But I like the concept of thinking about one word, so I think I'll think about that. For me, when I heard this, maybe a lot of what I hear here goes back to the theme that I think I've shared many times here, where I think maybe my key struggle is thinking about how to become the better person that you want to become, and at the same time be happy, content, proud of who you currently are. And that I always, now that I read it more closely, I'm not sure that, but that's what first came to mind for me. It's that kind of balance.
Because mm-hmm. it really is a balance. It's,
yeah.
It's one and the other. It isn't just one. Thanks, Aaron.
I was deeply struck by the last line. We naturally follow the universal law, because I mean the when it says like with no line, the flower invites the butterfly, and the butterfly invites the flower. It's kind of like it just happens, you know. And likewise, when he says that even though he doesn't know other people and they don't know him, there's kind of this because there's kind of this, how should I put it, like a natural way that people just compose themselves in society. One thing that, I would like to add on to the whole New Year's resolution thing. What I'm trying to do right now is to just, to really quiet my thinking mind, just accept reality for it is, you know. I'm reading right now, I've decided that I was going to read more this year. And particularly, I started out with an interesting book. It was the it was a commentary on the Heart Sutra by the Rinzai monk Hakuin, and it's really interesting because I found a lot of parallels with this one in the fact that it kind of just is when he commented on the Bodhisattva's canons of practicing the wisdom paramita, and he said that what do you mean practice? Like he said that's like when you're doing, he lists like a bunch of activities to do, like walking, eating, breathing, sleeping, that you kind of just do them, but it only becomes practice when you really think that it is practice, and you should ultimately just try to make everything the practice. And what he talked about, like in the Heart Sutra, it says at that time he realized that yada yada yada, and he commented on the phrase at that time, and he said that the mind of wisdom, it shines in darkness before thousands of years, after thousands of years now, and he kind of makes the point that it's just that there really is no difference, or it doesn't really matter what specific time, because it's like it's always that time. And so then the commentator who was commentating about Hakuin's comments said that at that time he was preaching this during the winter, and in the commentary Hakuin said that he's putting on a new robe for the spring. So it's kind of just like there's just that math. But this poem just reminds me of that natural flow that it just happens, you know. That there's a concept to learn from this, definitely, but that very concept is not necessarily like something special, but something that kind of just brings you down to earth. The final thing that I was reminded when I read this was that Queen was commenting on the five aggregates or whatnot. He says that when the Kanon says that they're all empty, he says that the sacred tortoise sweeps away its tracks with its tail, but how can the tail avoid leaving tracks of its own? So even though the Kanon realizes all of, like, the aggregates or whatever they're called are empty, there's still that statement. So it's kind of like, I'm just trying to really accept just things as they are. This is beautiful.
Thank you. Another way that I've heard that being said is just this. That's all there is. Just this.
For me, when I was reading this, the first thing that came to my mind was to try to live from, which I'm trying to do better today, is to live without judgment, be open as far as worldly things, meeting new people, new opportunities, but also as we're sitting in the class, I was hoping to live without judgment and my dealing with my own inner thoughts, to be open and not let prejudgment diminish the value of what it could potentially bring if you allow it. And it goes to what you were saying as well, that you never know. Once you're open and you live the life without preconceived judgment, and you're more open to receiving, and you never know what you will be receiving, but it's a journey that you have to be taking.
Mm-hmm. what's your name?
Nilu.
Nilu.
For me, it was the universal law, basically. So, you know, I deal with a lot of business, a lot of layers in the core, right? You know, if you peel everything off, it's a natural law. You know, what can you find in yourself?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a true self, you know, trying to find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I got
yeah.
at this point.
Which is what we're about.
Yeah, exactly.
Issei, what do you think? Did you think it was a pretty one?
I don't know. I can't
What's that?
See it.
Can't see it.
All right. So thank you. And again, this is the idea that we are all giving and receiving from each other. As you've all said in different ways, we're trying to be open to that, non-judgmental. And I think that it's wonderful to have other different views, and because there is no one answer. We're all different. We're all at a different time in our lives. And all we have is just this right now, so. Thank you for being here and sharing. Have a good week.